Welcome to Sailor Society's Wellness at Sea podcast. In this series, we're going to explore what wellness is and look at some really simple and practical steps you can take to enjoy a positive sense of well-being while working at sea. This episode, we're talking to Gavin Lim, who heads up Sailor Society's Crisis Response Network in Asia. The network is made up of specially trained responders who provide a 24/7 trauma care and counselling service for survivors of piracy attacks, natural disasters and other crises at sea. Gavin's joining us today from Singapore to talk to us about how experiencing crisis can affect your body, mind and relationships. We'll look at what you can expect if you go through a traumatic experience and what help is available to help you get through it. So Gavin, what is the Crisis Response Network?
Hi Mel. The Crisis Response Network, CRN, is made up of about 50 responders at the moment who are trained to talk with and assess a trauma survivor when we come in contact with them. This is in order to give them the best support that they need.
So what kind of crises have these seafarers been through?
There have been many crises. I think the most critical ones that we come across are due to natural disasters like typhoons, earthquakes, or even a volcanic eruption in Philippines. So during this kind of crisis, the families and the seafarers are really at a difficult loss. The other kind of crisis that we've come across are piracy. Other critical incidents would be imprisonment or abandonment, or bereavement that the seafarer may face from time to time. I think piracy at the moment is one of the most common crises we deal with in the CRN. While piracy rates are declining, when it does happen, it is often very traumatic, and we try to come alongside survivors and their families as quickly as possible. During a piracy incident, it is sometimes not possible to render much assistance to the seafarers. But the families, that's where our focus is, where, you know, because of the stress that they're undergoing, we try to provide techniques to help them keep calm, keep the families going as they go through this crisis. In our experience, more than 80% of people who survive traumatic events will cope well afterwards, provided they get decent support from the families, their friends, the communities, and their colleagues. That is why we also offer training and support to families and colleagues.
What does a traumatic experience do to someone?
It varies from person to person. We can't say for sure, because when you are suffering from a trauma, you will react to an abnormal life situation. But because you've gone through a trauma, it doesn't mean that you'll necessarily be traumatized by it. Many people actually feel fine after a trauma if they just visited the doctor, had a haircut, had a good shower, put on some new clothes or proper clothes, and they're good to go. They're fine. However, many will show some symptoms of post-traumatic stress for a few weeks. Some of the common symptoms that you might face as a trauma survivor would be physical changes like trembling, headaches, clammy hands. You might grind your teeth when you sleep. You might have chest pains or even high blood pressure. Emotionally, you may see abrupt changes in your mood. For example, you might continuously be stuck in a negative emotion, or something like a smell or sound can trigger a flashback or a sudden change in your mood. In terms of your behavior, you might find that you no longer enjoy doing things that you used to enjoy. For example, like watching a movie because the movie might be violent, or you might not enjoy watching soap operas, because it will trigger some memories of someone that you've lost. Yeah. And then on the other hand, you might also have positive changes, like you might want to find a new job or take on a new hobby. So emotions can be, and behavior could be quite extreme. Some other common feelings people can have, and this we see a lot, is a total loss of control. And we see this in post-piracy cases, especially if they've been held captive for a length of time. They feel that they've lost control, so they lose their self-confidence, and then you start blaming yourself for everything. Let's talk about control in terms of a natural disaster. So when a natural disaster happens, the person virtually has no control. It just happened. And there he is, there his family is. They've lost a lot of things. Maybe they've even lost loved ones, right? So they have no control, and they feel that they just cannot do anything. Whatever they do or they try to do, it's just impossible. The outcome would not change. So to get the person back into control is really about getting his mindset to change, to get him to recognize that it's not his fault that something has like this has happened, you know. And it takes time. Usually you will start recovering after a month or so. And because of this, we try to come alongside you within 72 hours of a traumatic event, and we will do a follow-up 3 to 4 weeks later to see whether symptoms have improved. If they've not improved, we do arrange for trauma survivors to see a mental health professional.
How do people respond to the support that you offer them?
It varies. Some respond really well. Some respond not so well. Some don't really respond at all. I mean, it really depends because of it's a personal thing. But two cases that comes to mind, one shows a really strong and positive response to the assistance we've given. The other is not so positive, but making very good progress. Now, the first one that comes to mind is a post-piracy victim. And it took us about 6 months to start seeing the positive response. It was really difficult. He exhibited all signs of classic physical stress factors, and he couldn't eat very much. He couldn't sleep very well. He was talking in his sleep. He was you know, grinding his teeth, and then he wouldn't talk. He would, you know, sit in the corner all by himself. So it took a long time, and he also had a psychiatric care. He was under some medication. But I think the key was that we had to use psychological recovery techniques to get him to open up slowly. And one of the very important things that we had to do was to make sure that he started getting control over his life again. Because after a long period of captivity, most of these victims, they lose control. So we had to put control back into his hands. And not only that, he couldn't sail anymore, which was very disappointing for him because his mother just couldn't bear the thought of him facing another crisis at sea. So we had to, again, work with him when he was much, much better to make sure that he had livelihood. So he tried a few things. He tried I think we supported him, and he tried two or three things that didn't really work out until finally he found something that worked for him. And that was running a small piggery, a small pig farm with his father. And very happy to say that after 2 years, he's married with a child. His pig farm is doing well. He's actually thinking about how to expand his pig farm a little bit more. So we'll see how we can help him with that. So this is a really positive result that we see, and it encourages us tremendously. The other case that comes to mind is positive, but not so positive, and it's taken a really long time. We've been helping this ex-seafarer and the family for, I think, close to 6 years right now. And unfortunately, the big issue is that this ex-seafarer could not and still cannot walk out from under the shadow of the feeling that a great injustice has been done to him. Because he was a seafarer for about 20 years when the incident happened, and he felt that everything was taken away from him, a good livelihood, a happy family, and it's just not fair. So psychologically, he's trying to find justice, and only with justice, a good compensation, will he be able to get closure. So his family suffered tremendously. They felt like they were walking eggshells whenever he was around. His temperament was swinging like a pendulum. He was losing his temper quite frequently, and triggers that nobody could understand. Family had to move away just to feel safe for a period of time. So this ex-seafarer, he's gotten better. Right now, after 6 years, he's starting to hold on to jobs that he could find for longer periods of time, which is really positive. He's able to interact much better with his family. His daughter now, who was on the verge of not being able to continue with school after high school, has now just graduated with a bachelor's degree. So future is looking good for her and looking much better for the family. So cases like this really tests the responders or the caregivers' patience. And we had to keep at it until we see good results. 6 years, probably he'll need help for a little bit longer, but we are very happy to do it. And we think that as a daughter moves and starts getting a job, and I think it will help him tremendously.
Wow, it's amazing to hear the turnaround that there's been in these people's lives and what role Sailor Society has played in that. So if I were to need the Crisis Support Network, how would I go about contacting you, and what would happen next?
It's really easy to contact us or to contact the Crisis Response Network. Our contact details are available in our website, www.sailors-society.org. Our contact details are there. Once we get a contact, or if you call us or message us or email us, we will get in touch with you, or we'll start talking and having a conversation with you. We would like to find out how we can help. So some sharing of information on your part would be required. And then the next thing that we do is to assess how best to help you. Can we provide the assistance? Could it be financial, or just having someone to talk with, or having a dedicated counselor spend time with you? or in the more serious cases, would professional psychiatric help or some other professional help, even legal help, be required? So it all depends on the situation that you find yourself in and how we communicate with each other. But in all instances, your call, your email, your text messages are treated with the strictest confidence.
Thank you for listening to our Wellness at Sea podcast. We hope you found it helpful to your understanding of how you can keep well at sea. In the next episode, we'll be speaking to psychologist and professional development trainer Dr. Deepti Mankad about seafarers' relationships with their families. We'll discuss some of the common challenges families can face when a husband or wife goes to sea and how to keep those relationships healthy. Don't forget, if you're struggling, Sailor Society is here to help. Talk to one of our chaplains in port, or you can find our contact details on our website, www.sailors-society.org. You can also call your special company helpline, details of which are available in your company Wellness at Sea materials.